You know, so much of careers is just being exposed. I didn't even know that was possible. You know, I hear that all the time. It's like, I didn't even know that was a job. And it's like, now that I know that it's a job, I might actually want to do that.
Hey, friend, it's David Nowinski here in Brooklyn. Here at Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. Speaking of ownership, this conversation is around career agency. Dave Fano believes that we've entered into the age of agency. As the past year, for many of us, we've been working from home, and that has given us time to reflect on agency of where we spend our days, our time, and so much more on how we want to work and what we want our days to look like. Dave is the CEO of Teal, a career growth company that has raised venture capital funding. Before Teal, Dave was the chief growth officer at WeWork, a professor at Columbia University, and the CEO of Case, which was acquired by WeWork. Teal has been helping people build meaningful careers through resources, technology and tools, and community. In this episode, you'll learn about Dave's advice for finding roles, how to think about your career in terms of a product type of mindset by evolving and iterating and seeing what the market tells you, how to try to get public support for when applying for roles, and the demand for growth-oriented roles, and also even about fractional employment and so much more. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Dave. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about was this idea around kind of building in public. You know, we're starting to see it on Twitter and stuff like that. And I was just kind of curious as a, you know, a CEO, as, you know, somebody that's, you know, building a company, talk to me a little bit more about building in public and if that's something that you think is worthwhile.
So I think whenever you can help people learn, that's a good thing. I think that there is a tension, especially when you're a venture-backed startup, right? You got to be sort of mindful of what you're putting out there in the market. That is, you know, there's just like a lot of signaling and at least a pressure to show that things are going great, you know, because if things aren't going great, then you kind of have to backpedal and explain like what happened and, you know, it's out there. So I think the build in public thing is amazing, but I think that, you know, something I've been thinking a lot about is the tension between like vulnerability and confidence. And, you know, I think a lot of the people that are very successful are being vulnerable. Is it's kind of in retrospect and things are kind of going great in the moment, you know, so it's kind of okay to be vulnerable about the way things were. And especially with startups. And so I think that, look, and again, I'm not projecting for others. I'm thinking about myself. You know, there are some times where I'd like to be sort of vulnerable and put things out there. And I'm like, you know, kind of not sure. That might come off as more of like a lack of confidence in what we're doing. And I think there's people that do it incredibly well. I have not figured out how to do those things. But all in all, I think building in public is really wonderful. But again, we just kind of got to be mindful of how much we put out there. Like, how public are we? You know, I would love to be public about our revenue and all those kinds of things. And, you know, but then it's out there and I'm going to have to like talk about it. So, you know, I try to put it out as much as I can, but I wouldn't consider myself as someone who is like truly building in public in the way that maybe the way KP would define it as the person who sort of like, you know, coined the hashtag.
Yeah. Cool. And do you think that there's ways to like, is there such thing as applying in public? If we could think about it in the jobs and career space, have you seen any stories or frameworks around this idea of like, you know, applying for a job or gaining attention for a certain role in public? And if you've seen anything like that, would love to hear some thoughts on that.
Yeah. So there was this really wonderful exchange that I saw that was really cool when someone, I think it was Phil Larkin, who publicly advocated for a person to get a role, and that's sort of like at mentioning the hiring manager. And what I thought was very cool there was like having this like hype person for another person, and kind of just like talking about why they were so great. And I'm not, I think the person had applied or not applied, and almost like public testimonials for individuals in public, I think is wonderful, because like a lot of these things kind of have happened, you know, behind the veil of an email or DMs and things like that. And so I think these public endorsements of individuals for jobs, not for a service or not for their product, I think those things are, have been done for a long time, right? There's software to capture testimonials, and on LinkedIn, it doesn't really work. They feel super forced. So I think these organic displays of endorsement for an individual, I think are really wonderful. And I had even talked to KP a while ago. It's like, hey, should we do this like careers in public thing? That said, there's just a lot of complexity around the career in public. I'd say even more so than building in public, where signaling is really tricky. And like, what can you put out there? Can you really talk about your experience as an employer? Because now the next employer may not want to hire you based off of that. So then there's like a lot of obfuscation and like subtweeting and passive aggression, so I think that is one of the pressures around careers, isn't like needing to operate in this way where you feel like you're walking through a field of landmines, and do I say the wrong thing? Will someone dust that up and bring it up in an interview for me where I really would love to share these things in public? Is there going to be some kind of repercussion? I signed some kind of NDA. Will the company come after me if I said it? You know, I've got a vesting agreement for some options, and can they take those away from me if I say something negative? And so I just think it's far more complicated, and a lot of people just don't have the infrastructure to support them if they did make a mistake. So we just sort of fall back to just not talking about those things.
But it does sound like you're saying, like, if you could, in a perfect world, if it's possible to try to get, you know, people to cheerlead for you in public about a certain role, and maybe there's a little bit of momentum, a little bit of activity around this. Obviously, it's very complicated, but it does seem to be a little bit on the emerging frontier type of calling your own shot, shooting your own shot kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think that, yes, like I applied for this job. Like, I think saying that in public, I think is great. You know, you've seen some really, we had a member of Teal, Emily Vu, who, you know, she had this great tweet where it was just like, F it. Here's my resume. And she did this like somewhat like of a parody resume stylized as Spotify's aesthetic, which like one would not do like a resume on a black piece of paper with like a green thing and white font, right? Because nobody would print that. But she put it out there and it went viral. I think it got something like 250,000 likes. And she basically said, I applied to this company. Here it is. The hiring manager commented on it. Like, people went crazy about it. So I think that speaks more to what we're entering that I would call kind of the age of agency, where more so than ever, the consumer, i.e. an employee, is feeling a sense of agency. And I think, kind of think we have COVID to thank for that, in that people were on their own. And I think that this sense of agency was something we didn't feel because we went into the office in somewhat like an autopilot kind of way. We woke up, we went to the office, we did our thing, we left the office. And there was just a lot of things that we assumed or took for granted in that. And it's like, yeah, can I book a doctor's appointment at 11 o'clock? Probably not, right? Unless I really need to, that's just going to be after. Can I meet my friend for coffee? Probably not. And I think for the last year, people have had agency. Like, I can actually decide that. I didn't have to ask for permission. A lot of these things aren't explicit. They're just, actually, I almost think they're self-imposed. I don't think companies say you have to ask. A lot of times you probably can, but I think we felt the agency this last year. And I think that people don't want to give it up. And I think that's why a lot of people go and start companies in this pursuit of agency. You know, Daniel Pink would say it's one of the three factors for fulfilling work or for motivation, which is autonomy. So people go and start companies because they think it's their path to autonomy. Unfortunately, oftentimes it's not, because then you have other things that really sort of, you know, keep you beholden to the company and customers and things like that, probably in a good way. But I think that I'm excited for a world where people do have agency, and that that is the promise of remote work, that we feel like we can still have an awesome job at a company we really care about with people that we love working with, but have that sense of agency to do what we want to do when we think we want to do it. So I think that's kind of where I feel like we're really about to get into that, because right, COVID, we kind of had it, but now people are going to have choice. I think we're going to see a higher sense of clarity on what people want and what kind of job they want to be in. And I think that agency is going to be really important.
And as a, like what else is a part of this age of the agency? Like, does this mean that people can be more comfortable building side projects or more confident in deciding around working remotely versus in the office? If people are starting to are used to this feeling and they kind of generally agree with it, what do you think that they could do to take advantage of it or optimize for it?
With that agency is going to come responsibility, right? And I think that at the end of the day, we operate in a marketplace. And with that agency comes a need for a greater awareness of that marketplace. And we have to be aware of some of like the entitlements that the previous way of working enabled us. And so when you have this agency and you want to do something like side projects, right, to say like, hey, my company should allow me to do side projects, they may or may not have a policy that allows you to do side projects. But the truth is you operate with other human beings that will have judgments and feelings and opinions about a coworker doing side projects. As like, I'm busting my hump. I don't have time for side projects. I just focus on like my family, my sleep, and my work. Why do you get to do side projects? That doesn't make it right or wrong. All that means is you as a person that now has this agency has to internalize that those pressures exist. And you got to be mindful about like what you're signaling to the world when you do that. Again, your employer might be absolutely fine with it, but your coworkers might not. And then, so is that a place that like truly like embodies that through and through, and that they've built a culture that accepts it, and that's the kind of place that you want to be? Or is it a place that it's totally cool with it, but they actually don't do the extra hard work to make sure that everybody believes it? And so I think that there's going to be more and more things we have to think about as we choose to work at certain places. And again, it's not just about like the HR policy. It's not just about what the leaders say at the top. It's about what the entire organization like truly does day in and day out. And does it support the kind of career you want? And so I think it puts more pressure on a person to vet, is that the place I want to work? And a lot of times you can't. That's really hard to vet like in an interview process. And so what I think that might lead to is people kind of test driving jobs more so than they did in the past. And I think that's going to lead to a higher acceptance of, yeah, if someone's got, you know, their resume looks like 1 year, 1 year, 6 months, 5 years, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. They were just kind of like agilely testing to see the right place. They found it. They stayed there for a while. And so I think that'll become more commonplace.
And that agile mindset, that's kind of like a product mindset. And I think, is it possible for us to take that same type of approach to our career? And I think you said a little bit about the marketplace and stuff like that. Maybe talk to us a little bit about maybe taking a product kind of approach to our career. And
yeah, I think that to think that we know what we want to do and that's the thing we're going to want to do forever is it lacks just any kind of understanding of how we are as people and how we progress, right? Like just life throws us curveballs. This antiquated idea that we're like going to go to high school, learn exactly what we want to do, pick a major and do that for the rest of our life is just crazy. And then to also think that you're going to do that in a context where the world is changing at a faster pace than ever, right? To think that I picked a career and I'm gonna have to go do 4 years of, in my case, 7 years of schooling, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, for some to pay that back, you know, all those kinds of crazy things. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. But like the market's changing, you know, who would have thought that when they went to school for art, even 3 years ago that digital art could be a thing that actually could lead to a career with NFTs and all the cool things that are happening there now, right? And so the market or the context by which you one would sort of deploy a career is changing. And so that's why products need to adapt all the time. Products that say static end up sort of just fizzling away. And I think if we approach our skill set in our career with a little bit more of a product mindset, and we say, look, we are constantly needing to adjust our product market fit. And I might just change, I might discover new things, I might new learn things, like something that I learned unlocked other things. You know, so much of careers is just being exposed. I didn't even know that was possible. You know, I hear that all the time. It's like, I didn't even know that was a job. And it's like, now that I know that it's a job, I might actually want to do that. Right. And if we think about how we get career exposure, it's like what our parents did, you know, what some relative did. And there are so many amazing, wonderful things that we can do for a living that sometimes when we get exposed to them, now we want to go do that. And so I think that the world's going to become more comfortable with this. And I think what that's going to lead to is more of an understanding of people like on a skill and ability basis than the kind of lazy, simplified understanding of a job title.
Okay. And Teal, been around, you know, about a year and a half, been helping, you know, hundreds, thousands of people with resources, community, tools, et cetera. What have you seen recently in terms of like, how people are like getting jobs, like, or like, is there anything that really kind of just stands out as like consistent trends on, you know, we talked a little bit about the kind of in public approach, but you know, is it resumes? Is it people? Is it unique approaches on, you know, finding out about a job before it gets applied? A lot of different sweeping generalizations here, but is there anything that kind of just jumps out to you as like, for somebody that's looking for a role in, let's just say, business development. Anything jump out at you, Dave?
Yeah, so I'd say first, the non-obvious is knowing what you want to do. I see a lot of the people that sort of stay in a perpetual state of job searching is they're not quite clear on what they want to do. They know they want to work and they know they want to be in a job they like, but they're not quite clear. And unfortunately, companies don't really hire generalists, right? Some do, and that's not to say that no generalist has ever been hired. Of course they do. But if we think about the situation as a company needs to do something, that thing requires some amount of ability. Therefore, they write a job posting that describes the abilities that they expect a person to have. If you don't have those abilities, they're probably not going to hire you. And if you're not clear and excited about doing that job every day, they're probably not going to hire you. And so the folks that are clear on what they want to do and are comfortable talking specifically about doing that thing and excelling in that thing, they make progress because they are the solution to a company's problem. When folks come in, it's like, yeah, I could do this. I don't know what to do. And you've talked to enough people when you sort of tell me a little bit about yourself. Oh, well, I could do this. I could do that. I'm excited about this. And they think by presenting themselves in this very malleable way, that a company will be like, that's so great. They can do anything. The truth is what a company is thinking is like, well, this person's not really good at any one thing. And so they sound great. And if we were huge in hiring, I'm sure I could plug them into something, but I just don't have the time and sort of, I can't take the risk. So companies hire specialists and companies seek expertise generally. That's a broad generalization. So I think the folks that are clear on what they want to do, they get jobs. Now that's once they're in, you usually do generalize a little bit and you get to do a lot of things, but in the sort of sales process of landing the job, those that are clear, I think make faster progress. And then the other thing is consistency. You know, sure, like there's advice, like you got to customize your resume. There's advice on how you got to like direct network. Like all those things work. What I will tell you, and just like the advice, you know, you'd give me about a podcast is you got to stay consistent. It's like, pick your thing, do it, measure your progress, iterate and get better. So if you want to go to applying online because like cold outreach and networking is uncomfortable, look, it's known it's the least effective way to get into jobs, but it works. People land jobs through job boards every day. If you said, I'm going to apply to 3 to 5 jobs a day, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing it and control the input velocity. the output will start to come. If you say, look, I'm just going to do cold outreach, one networking thing a day, the progress will come. I think it's when people are trying a whole bunch of different things, kind of not being methodical about it, going hot and cold, their process tends to drag on. And then the other would be like to measure it, like really be explicit. Like you've met a lot of sales and BD people in your life, like those that keep like a good CRM, do the follow-up, do the tracking, they get it done. So what I would say, what gets measured gets managed. You know, that's kind of the software we're trying to build to help people do that. Make a spreadsheet, use a clipboard, whatever, but like track your progress.
And Teal has a job tracker tool if you'd like to use that.
We do. We are, you know, it is a, we all know somebody who makes this like awesome spreadsheet to manage their job search. You know, we would say everybody should do that, but there is a bit of like a psychological barrier. It's like, look, this is a process that I'm only doing right now. I've convinced myself that I'm never going to do it again, even though that's empirically untrue. So I'm not going to invest the time and energy in like building infrastructure to manage this process. That's really unenjoyable. Even that, like, I don't even want to think about how to structure it as a process. So we've kind of taken all that guesswork out of it for people, made it really easy, and are trying to create like honey for job searching. You know, Chrome extension goes with you to every single job board because there is no aggregate job board. It's really hard. It's a dynamic market, but you should track it. Just get it all in there. Bookmark away, like if you were putting things in your shopping cart, and then decide which ones you want to buy and run a tight process.
Honey for job tracking, that's good. What are the what are some of like the growing fields that you're seeing in the Teal community where people are, you know, whether there's is hot demand in early stage digital art companies, or you know, what are some kind of trends that you're seeing on kind of frontier fields that if people were, you know, wanted to quickly learn some things, they could, you know, start to have conversations on where, you know, things are happening a little bit more than other sectors.
Yeah, I think we're a sort of a sliver of the marketplace, and we, you know, we've just kind of like organically grown to have a sort of concentration in certain occupations. I wouldn't call them indicative of the broader market. You know, as someone sort of like hiring and talking to other business leaders, what I think is consistently a need and where I'm seeing companies kind of willing to open up the checkbook is on all things growth. Right? I think getting customers at the end of the day, you can have an awesome product. I'm in the distribution first camp. Obviously that assumes you have a good product that is worthy of being distributed. But no sales, no company. And I think that more so than ever, the consumer, whether on the consumer side or business side, B2B or B2C or D2C, it's getting harder to prove why you've earned the right to take someone's money or to charge them money. And I think being incredibly instrumented about that is incredibly high demand. You know, so whether it's called a growth hacker, you know, growth marketer, I see that as a growing field. And the idea of just sort of expending ad dollars and sort of like hope marketing, I think that's gone. I think everything's going to be incredibly measured. And growth is at that intersection of product and what would be traditionally marketing or revenue, and really being able to instrument what are these actions that our user is taking and what can be done in a predictable way. I think you're going to see even more pressure on that, given some of these big macro changes that are happening with privacy and what data can be collected, because a lot of companies could sort of trust fall into the Facebook algorithm and they'd get, you know, pretty good efficiency and make the numbers work. I think those things are going to get harder and harder to do the specific targeting. And so you're going to really need sharp, methodical performance marketers or growth marketers that know how to predictably and consistently bring in customers.
On the side of marketing and kind of people bringing expertise and stuff, and we were emailing a little bit about this, but how do you think about this idea of approaching companies for consulting, part-time, you know, executive type of work? I know it seems very glamorous of like, oh, I could work for this company for X, Y. You've had a little bit of experience in this. We'd just be curious as people are thinking about, you know, consulting, independent projects. Would love to just get quick thoughts on it.
Yes, yeah, so I think I'm pretty excited about the future of like fractional employment. There is a lot of kind of what I would say like legacy expectations of the employee-employer relationship and how to put parameters around that. And the easy thing to do is to just employ somebody full-time. So the path of most resistance is to be mindful of what you really need, especially as a small company. It's like, I need someone that knows marketing. And, you know, kind of counter to my sort of advice earlier about the companies want higher specialists. The problem is I don't need 100% of a specialist. And so if I need a marketing person, I want them to be very good at marketing analytics, but I don't need 100% of that. You know, I need like 20% of that. But then if I hire them, they're probably not going to run my social accounts because they're not that good at that. That's just not what they're passionate about. That's not what they're excited about. So we end up sort of like hunting for unicorns that have these, you know, that are good at everything, which is kind of just not realistic. Sure, those people exist, but it gets really, really hard. So why couldn't we live in a world where we get people fractionally? You know, then you get back into some of these like agency things and how do you get everyone working together? And like, every, you know, we have such like a culture, I think more broadly societally, of like, let's just have a meeting. And so I think we have some like systemic change that needs to happen, which I think is coming. You know, I think we're starting to see an understanding that, like, asynchronous work is really important. This notion that we're kind of like all on at the same time is bad. And I think it goes back to some of this, the discussion we're having around agency. And so I think a combination of asynchronous work and an understanding that I don't need 100% of a person is going to start to open up an ability for people to get access to expertise in the interval that they need it. Other blockers there may be like contractual structures. You know, if I wanted to employ someone part-time in New York, but still give them health insurance in a way that they want to and they're excited about, there's all sorts of things that just make that really complicated. And so that I'm kind of interested in to see on, are there things that were put in place to protect people that actually prevent them from growing their careers in the way that they wanted to?
So a lot of moving pieces, but on a whole, fractional work is growing. It's just kind of some moving parts there.
Yeah, and I think it's easier than ever for people to like set up an LLC, do the consulting. You know, I think there's more and more precedents for it. There's more and more role models for it. And so going back to what I said earlier, sometimes you kind of need the exposure to even know that it's possible. Right? And I'm sure you've talked to people. It's like, oh, I didn't even know I could do that. And a lot of us need to know it could be done to then even begin to engage in the process of thinking that I could do it. And so I think that's becoming more and more common for people to say, yeah. Right? Like, you know, no kid says when they're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, oh, I want to work four jobs, right? It's constructed in this like very singular thing, but it doesn't have to be. And so I think we're starting to get to a place where we're shedding some of these preconceived notions of what employment and career building looks like.
Yeah. And clearly you're doing a ton of work at Teal to expose people, right? It's having the community to bounce ideas off of, you know, part-time work, full-time work, sectors, roles, titles, entry points, et cetera. You have a summit coming up next week. And I love the language that you guys use around, or the company uses around career growth as opposed to career development. And so talk to us a little bit about the Career Growth Summit that's coming up next week.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so many like taboos in careers, right? And we all grow, and what we're all after at the end of the day is career growth. Like when you look at a lot of the surveys of why people leave jobs, right, everyone expects it to be because they want more money. And almost every single one of these surveys that you look at, that's never the top reason. It's because they wanted more growth opportunities. And unfortunately, that means a lot of times that means you have to leave your job. But even that shouldn't be as kind of like an icky thing as it is, right? If I'm interviewing while I have an employer, there's this kind of like feeling, and I don't know where it came from. I mean, I think because a lot of us have integrity and we care, that like I'm cheating on my employer. I'm being like unfaithful. And I tell people, it's like, you can't be unfaithful to a job. You know, you can be you know, do your time, like do your work. Don't, you know, don't just start to like flake out on your job. But at the end of the day, you got to look out for yourself and you got to look out for your growth. And ideally you're in a situation where a company's growth is perfectly aligned with your growth. But too many times that's not the case. If a company is not growing, that company has a ceiling for my growth. And that's not personal. That's just what happens. And then my growth means like someone has to leave or something has to happen. And, but we know people want to be growing. And sure, growth does include compensation. Like growth does include learning. It does include, you know, access to things, but also my personal life. I want to grow, like my lifestyle. I want to do different things. And so for us, that's kind of what we've boiled it down to, is that we're all in some form pursuing growth. And that's when that discomfort and that frustration comes with our job, is when we feel like we're not growing. And we can blame it on, you know, you ask us like, I'm not making enough money, but I know plenty of people that are like super happy with their job. And actually money is not the issue. Like they're not getting the recognition. They're not getting access to opportunities to try new things. They're not getting to be part of the decision-making process. They're not getting an opportunity to fail, you know, and learn. And so they really want to grow. And so that's just really what we've honed in on. We're super focused on job search, given that there's so many ways to grow, but even to tell people you're job searching is oftentimes complicated because I out myself. You know, I definitely don't want my current employer to know that I'm job searching. If I'm unemployed in job searching, it's like, well, why are you unemployed? What happened? Did you get let go? Does that mean like you're not a good employee? It's like, no, you know, it's like, there's just a lot of identity and complexity around career building. And going back to the conversation around like how public you can be about these things. So I feel like the thing that distills it down to the most simplest thing for us is growth. People want to grow. And a little broad, but that's what we want to empower people to do, is to have that sense of control of their career and to get clear on what that growth means for them and then to help them get it.
And the idea around constant growth is a great kind of mindset, as opposed to, you know, there's like the career, you know, corporate ladder, and then there's like, oh, I'm going to keep on. But it's like, if you keep growing and you keep learning, I love that. That's just a great mindset to have, is like, well, that's what I want to focus on. And so now I got Teal to help you out.
That's the idea. And being clear what growth means for you, right? It goes, you know, that clarity is important. And so, yeah, I mean, a big part of it is like, I'm a big fan of Carol Dweck's work. She wrote the book Mindset, which is about the growth mindset. And, you know, that's what we want to help people see, that how do you find the opportunities for growth? What does growth mean for you? And how do you keep your career constantly growing?
Cool. Well, the summit is next week. And as we're starting to wrap up here a little bit, Dave, is there anything else that you think that we missed that, and I know your work is around so many different sectors. And so it's sometimes hard to, you know, give this, and everybody's situation is kind of unique, and to say like, I'll do this one thing, but anything else that you think stands out for people for their career growth journeys or people that are looking for work right now?
Get clear on what matters to you, right? Like really try to internalize what matters to you, build that self-awareness, talk to others, be willing to have those uncomfortable conversations, you know, get that feedback. Like when did you excel most in your career? When were you doing work that was exciting for you? When did people see you the most engaged and sort of lit up about your work? And then try to repeat that, right? Cause I think that, and give yourself permission to have that conversation. I think a lot of people think like, I need to be doing this. I have these like emotional sunk costs. I went to school, I gotta try again, you know, but allow yourself that discomfort with like, maybe this thing wasn't the thing I wanted to do, right? Like recognize that you're gonna work for 40 or 50 years. You're probably gonna have 10 to 15 jobs, and it's okay. Like you can switch it up, and that like being unhappy doing what you're doing, that's the worst. No one deserves that. Again, I don't want to trivialize the complexities of the privilege of that kind of empowerment to say, I'm just going to go switch jobs. But we see it time and time again, folks that focus on it, make it happen. But it starts with being clear on what you want to do. And maybe that's understanding what you don't want to do first. Like sometimes we have to understand what we're running away from to get clear on what we want to run towards. But if you stay in the runaway from headspace, you're going to get somewhere, and that still just may not be the thing. So try to help yourself get to a place of, what am I running towards? Approach it agilely. Understand that when you get there, it's going to be the next thing. There is no actual destination, because we're going to very quickly be like, okay, well, I got here, now what's next? But embrace that, right? And you know, focus on, be excited about thinking about what's next.
Love it. Awesome, Dave. Well, please let listeners know where they can stay in touch and learn more about Teal and your work.
Awesome. Yeah. Check us out at Teal, like the color, HQ.com. If you're actively looking for your next thing, we've got tools and resources to help you get there. We've got an amazing community of supportive people. We truly believe rising tides lifts all ships. And we've got this phenomenal event coming up on May 4th through 6th. It's completely free. We're running an awesome reverse career fair where companies pitch their open roles in their culture, which should be super cool. We've got some incredible speakers like the mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez, Gretchen Rubin, Sylvia Garcia. And it's really going to be incredible. And we hope that a lot of people leave the event with sort of clarity on what they want to do and actionable steps on how to go do it.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. Thank you, David.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.